Let's all stand to our feet, shall we, as we're opening our Bibles to Matthew chapter 1. We're only going to read two verses on today, and you've been seated for quite a while, so I want you to stay awake and don't walk out mentally or emotionally just because the kids walked out. Don't you go with them now. You stay right here. Matthew chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. Today's message is entitled Front and Center Facing Controversy. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Front and center, facing controversy. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank you for the children, and God, how they can rejuvenate the heart, the soul, the spirit. And so, Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit that is with them, that was upon them. And now, Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit would be upon us, even upon me. God, help me to articulate the things of Christ that your people might hear and haven't heard that they might obey. Now, Father, be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. How many of you, by the grace of God, much if not all of your life, you have been churched? Just raise your hand. Well, the preponderance of you here today, you fit that description. So then, now that you've been in church for several decades, shy of a century, how many quotes of Mary can you recite? Now I'm going to pause for about 20 seconds to watch your eyes look up towards the heaven, and let's see if God gives you answers to those questions. Well, let me just list a few quotes for you. You recall these quotes. How shall this be? I know not a man. Be it unto me your handmaiden. My soul doeth magnify the Lord. They have no wine. Do whatever he says. Now that's her quotes, but what about Joseph's quotes? How many quotes of Joseph can you recite this morning? Now I'm going to give you 10 seconds to think of those quotes. And if you close your eyes this time, perhaps God will hear and answer you so that you can answer appropriately. All right, listen to some of Joseph's quotes. They are. Very good, let's move on. Wait, Pastor Bob, you didn't say anything. You're correct. Neither did Joseph speak in the scriptures. Joseph does not speak a word in the scriptures, but his action speaks volumes to you and me. Let the church say amen. And so as we look at Mary's life and Joseph's life, what becomes glaringly clear is the following. No matter how reserved, modest, quiet, or godly one's life may be, you will face controversy. Sometimes we face controversy because of what others have done. Sometimes we face controversy because of what we have done. Sometimes we face controversies because we're falsely accused or implicated. And sometimes we face controversies because of what God has done. As some of you here today, you're facing controversy in your life. The controversy of a divorce. The controversy of being pregnant outside of wedlock. The controversy of domestic violence. The controversy of imprisonment. The controversy of losing a job. The controversy. Would y'all pray for me? The controversy of failure. And the controversy of rejection. As some of you are experiencing the controversy of a son or daughter who refuses to speak to you and have decided never to see you again. We all face controversies. Let the church say amen. So the question is, how well will you manage those controversies you face? See, if we mishandle or mismanage those controversies, it can cause ourselves and others much pain. And if we don't do it well, it can lead to all kinds of implications for us. When we fail to manage well controversy, it can bring about aggression inside of us, insecurities, sometimes helplessness and hopelessness, anger. We can be filled with rage. Controversy can cause us resentment. If we don't manage it well, it can lead to a nervous breakdown. even addictions, fear, flight, and escapism. So what about our text, the controversy of front and center with Mary and Joseph? You see, Mary is found to be pregnant with a child during the time that she was betrothed to Joseph. So let me explain what that means. In ancient Israel, if a man desired to marry a woman, then he would have to go to the father of the woman and request the hand of his daughter. If the father was so minded, then the two parties, the suitor and the father, would have to negotiate a dowry. And the dowry would help to compensate the father for the loss of his daughter. Once the dowry was agreed upon, now the father would allow his daughter to pledge herself to him, the suitor, and the suitor would pledge himself to the man's daughter. And at that point, they were legally married. During that time in which they were legally married, it was a chaste arrangement. There would be no sexual conduct. It was a chaste marriage. He would remain at his residence, and the daughter would remain at her residence. And if during that betrothal period that was only 1 year long, if you would, if either party was found guilty of infidelity, adultery, if you would, then that union could only be dissolved by a divorce. And so it is. Mary is found to be with child during that chaste period of the marriage that she was betrothed to this man by the name of Joseph. And there's only one thing that Joseph knew. It was this. He was not the father. It appeared as though Mary had been unfaithful. So what steps did Joseph take that are advisable for us to take when facing controversy? After all, look at Mary. The child is starting to grow in her uterus. Her stomach is beginning to take shape and form. She's front and center. How do you face controversy front and center? In this morning's message, front and center, our initial response to controversy should be point number one, jot this down, compassion, compassion. Look at verse number 19. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her public example, was minded to put her away privily. Now, Joseph is hurt, he's depressed, he's disillusioned, but he was not vicious nor vengeful. You say, what do you mean, Pastor? Joseph does not want to disgrace Mary. He doesn't want to humiliate Mary. He doesn't want to put her life at risk, because if a person in ancient Israel was guilty of adultery, they could be subject to stoning. So Joseph does not want to take out any rage or hurt upon Mary, so he wants to put her away quietly, discreetly, so that, if you would, she is not harmed. What is Joseph doing? His instinctual reaction was that of compassion. You say, well, Pastor, what are you trying to tell me? Joseph could have been enraged. How would you respond if you discovered that your spouse had been unfaithful? Joseph's thoughts could have been like these. Mary, how could you have done such a thing to me? Mary, you've made me the laughingstock of the town. Mary, I won't be able to show my face in public again. Mary, you deserve to be humiliated because you have humiliated me. And when you listen to all of those responses, there's one thing in common, and it is this. Me, 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 me. Every response is centered around himself. And many times when we are enraged, when our emotions get the best of us, in reality, it is us, not so much what has been done. Sometimes we feel humiliated. Sometimes we feel embarrassed. And rather than responding in compassion, we respond in a spirit of anger. If you've ever been there, raise both hands. Let me ask you a question. When emotions are running high, controversy has raised its ugly head, you feel hurt and dejected, do you respond like Joseph? You see, Mary was full of grace. Hell full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Mary was full of grace. But I'm here to tell you that Joseph was also full of grace. Let the church say amen. When your son or daughter brings home a low grade, in a particular subject, what is your reaction? Your initial reaction when it's a report card that you don't think is up to snuff. When the wife begins to send off the payment for a particular bill, men, what's your reaction? Ladies, when your husband forgets to lower the toilet seat in the bathroom, what is your reaction? I'll wait. When you receive a phone call to pick up a son or daughter from the police station for drunk driving, what is your reaction? When you learn your spouse has been unfaithful, what is your initial reaction? Yes, Joseph was minded to put her away. He's willing and he understands that he must put her away, that he must divorce her, but he was not minded to make her pay. When dealing with problems front and center, facing controversy, we're best served as serving others through the instinct of compassion. But there's a second thing that we learn from Joseph, the appropriate response to facing controversy. Point number two is that of courage. Look at verse number 20. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. In the middle of the verse, circle the words, fear not. The angel of the Lord is telling this man, Joseph, be courageous. Now, I want you to think about this because this is very important for each one from the oldest to the youngest here today. Now, listen to me. If you're going to serve God, you have to be courageous. God called a man by the name of Moses to go to Egypt and tell Pharaoh to let my people go. You know what Moses' reaction was? Lord, I stutter. I have a speech impediment. God, if I go there, who's going to listen to me? They're going to laugh me out of Pharaoh's palace. I can't speak. And God says, who made your tongue? In other words, I've given you a command. Why am I getting all these excuses? Am I not able to communicate in and through you? Be courageous. God says, where's your brother? Aaron. He can go with you. And I will speak to you, and Aaron will speak for me to Pharaoh. And there goes a tag team. Moses dies. Joshua succeeds Moses. And Joshua has to finish the job that Moses could not finish. And God says to Joshua, be thou very courageous, for wheresoever thou goest, I shall be with you. Fear not. Listen to me. The only way that you can faithfully serve God is that you must be courageous. Listen. When? In the midst of controversy. You say, what do you mean, Pastor Bob? The angel of the Lord told Moses, fear not. Managing and facing controversy requires courage. Stand up and take responsibility. Stand up and take ownership. Stand up and lend support. Stand up and lead the way. Listen to me. Either you will stand up to the controversies in your life, or controversy will get the best of you and defeat you. God wants us to stand up. Let the church say amen. You see, God is in search of courageous men and women such as Mary and Joseph. Why? Because here it is. There's something about God's people. It's common with every congregation, every church upon this earth. There's a common feature amongst God's people. And you know what it is? It's God's people are given over to timidity. You say, well, what's that? God's people are easily frightened. Why are God's people easily frightened? Because listen, we are his sheep of his pasture. Sheep are easily frightened. Listen to me. Sheep are so fearful. The psalmist David says, he leadeth me beside the still waters. Sheep are frightened by rushing waters. So he has to lead me beside the still waters because sheep are so frightened. And you know what sheep are frightened of? They're frightened of wolves. And they're frightened of lions. And you know what the devil, he's presented the Bible as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And this is what Satan does. Listen to me. Satan will bring forth controversy in our lives and in our churches so that he might frighten God's people. And there is an impulse that so many of God's people have, and the impulse is this: where there is controversy, they flee. They scatter in all directions because this certainly cannot be of God. And I certainly didn't sign up for this. Why do I find myself in all of this controversy? Now you know what Mary thought. Mary hadn't done anything wrong. Joseph hadn't done anything wrong. But you listen to me. God brought forth the controversy. Let the church say amen. And so it's this. In the midst of controversy that's in my life and in your life, God's expectation is this, that we remain faithful to him in and through the controversies in our lives, because God is saying, be thou courageous, be thou very courageous, for whatever you go through, I will be with you. You can make it through your controversy, let the church say amen. Well, I've been in jail. I have a record. God did not leave you. Let the church say amen. You got to understand. Listen to me. Why are you so ashamed? Listen to me. Don't you know that Jesus was a jailbird? Don't you know that John the Baptist was a jailbird? Don't you know the Apostle Paul was a jailbird? In other words, God's people were in jail, in and out of jail. Let the church say amen. You say, well, I've fallen. I've had a moral lapse in my life, and I'm so embarrassed, I'm so ashamed. Listen to me. Don't you understand that Jesus took our shame upon himself? He was disrobed. He was shamed so that we might be clothed in his righteousness. You remember this? You remember when Noah got drunk in the Bible? How many of y'all remember when Noah got drunk in the Bible? Okay. And inside of his tent, he was exposed. He was naked. And Ham went in, and he saw his father's nakedness, and it was a shame. But Japheth and his other brother, they went in, but with their backs towards their father, they put a cloth, if you would, and they walked backwards into the tent to cover their father's nakedness and not look upon his nakedness. They gave deference, respect to their father, though their father had a moral lapse of judgment in which he was intoxicated, they still respected their father. Now listen to me, beloved. When a fellow Christian has a failing in their life, don't look down on them. Don't shame them. But if you would, still respect them. Why? Because God does not shame us. Let us not shame them. You say, what do you mean, Pastor? It means this. Mary and Joseph, her name was scandalized. Have y'all heard? Mary's with child. And it's not Joseph's. I wonder whose child it is. Somebody said it was the Holy who? The Holy Ghost. I ain't even heard of a who's the Holy Ghost. Mary had to go through all that shame and embarrassment for nothing that she had done wrong. But the point is this, beloved. God wants us to continue to serve him in and through the controversies in our lives, whether we are responsible for the controversy, whether others are responsible for the controversies, or if God brings the controversy, God wants us to remain faithful, but it takes courage. But there's a third thing I want you to understand, the proper response, front and center, facing controversies. Thirdly, it requires compliance. Look at verses 24 and 25. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she brought forth her firstborn son, and called his name Jesus. Now Joseph could have excused himself. He could have said, now, it's not my child. I'm gone. You got to understand this. Christian, you're not the captain of your soul. Christ is the captain of your salvation. Let the church say amen. The Lord is the captain of your salvation. Listen to me. It's not about making your decisions, but it's understanding the decision that God wants you to make. In other words, some things that you may look upon, you say, I have no responsibility. I'm not involved. It has nothing to do with me. But you know what? God can say, that's what I want you to do. This is who I want you to marry. This is whom I want you to be a father to. In other words, you've got to follow God. You can't, it's not your life. Christ gave his life for you to give you life. You laid down your life at Calvary and you received a new life in Jesus Christ. You're not your own. You have been bought for and with a price. Now that you've been bought with a price, glorify God in this mortal body. Now you no longer live unto yourself. Now you live unto Christ. And living unto Christ means this, that he wants you to live unselfishly in this world. Joseph was unselfish, but he was also humble. God can only use you if you're humble. Well, what does humility look like? Humility is not thinking more of yourself than you ought to think, but it also involves not thinking less of yourself than you ought to think, but that you're able to think soberly regarding yourself, that you see yourself as you really are. And why is that important? It's important for this reason. If people are attempting to puff you up, if you would, and you know who you really are, you then know, that's not me. That's not me. That's not me. Or when people are trying to tear you down, and you really know who you are, then you can say, that's not me. That's not me. That's not me. See, when you're humble, guess what? It really doesn't matter what people say favorably or unfavorably. You know who you are. Joseph knew who he was. Therefore, if his name was going to be scandalized for he marrying Joseph, it did not matter why, because he knew who he was. More importantly, God knew who he was. Mary knew who she was. More importantly, God knew who she was. Therefore, it didn't matter what the townspeople said. She was humble. Joseph was humble. And because they were humble, listen, they were compliant to God. Even in the midst of controversy, they are compliant. And the Bible says this, that the angel of the Lord appeared unto Joseph in a dream. And the angel says, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that thing which is in her is of the Holy Ghost. And the Bible says, and when he awoke out of his sleep, he took Mary unto himself as his wife. He was compliant to the will of God as directed by the angel. Now listen to me, beloved, because this is very important. The will of God is not contingent or conditioned upon whether you like it or dislike it. You know how many people are willing to do the things God wants them to do that they like to do? Oh, God, I agree with that, God. I'm down with that, God. I'm good with that, God. Certainly, God, I'm so glad you're thinking like I'm thinking. It's on. Then God says, I want you to do this, and you don't like it. I don't know about that. That couldn't have been God. That's another kind of voice. That's not God. God wouldn't ask me to make sacrifices. God would not require me to humble myself. God would not want me to be scandalized and my name dragged through the mud. That certainly could not be God. God's will is not contingent upon your favor or disfavor. God's will is his will. Let the church say amen. And Joseph complied with the angel's directives. You see, the man of compassion, the man of courage, and the man of compliance is the man that God chose to marry Mary. You see, Joseph could be trusted with controversies. That God handpicked this man. This is the man to marry Mary. This is the man to be a guardian to my son, Jesus Christ. This is a man who's just and righteous. This is the man I'm appointing to go through controversy. Let me ask you a question. Can God trust you with controversy? Can God trust you with controversy? You know, there's something interesting when you study the bios of God's saints down through two millenniums, and it's this. Most of them, their lives were filled with controversy. 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 You see, beloved, whenever God will use you, Satan will oppose you. If you believe it, raise your hand. Whenever God uses you, Satan will oppose you. There are times I am the most popular preacher in Prince George's County, and there are times I am the least popular pastor in Prince George's County. There are times in which I experience favor, and there are times in which I experience disfavor. There's time in which people are on board and agree, and there's time that people are not agreeing and they're not on board. But you got to understand this. It doesn't matter whether you're on board or not on board. I'm just trying to do God's will. That's all I'm trying to do. Because God's will is not contingent upon your favor or disapproval. God's will is his will, and you have to learn how to serve him in the midst of controversies when people don't understand. See, you say, yeah, well, Pastor Bob, I just don't understand you. Guess what? I don't even understand myself. Join the crowd. You're trying to understand me, and I don't even understand myself. And I'm still trying to understand you. And guess what? And you don't understand yourself either. So in other words, can God trust you with controversies when they are front and center? I'll close with this. I am a person, everyone knows this, those who've known me all of my life, the last hat they would have ever put on me is a preacher's hat. Nobody had me pegged for that. And a number of you know I had speech problems all throughout elementary school. Some of you were able to figure that out. You still can't speak, Pastor. But anyway, couldn't speak very well. Man, a few words. When I got saved and God called me to ministry, and my family members would come and hear me preach, and they're like, who is that? We don't know who he is. He's a man. He never said anything. And now he says all these things. I never saw it coming. You say, what do you mean? I didn't sign up for this. I was not looking for a platform. I was not looking to be a leader. I just wanted to live a quiet life, minding my own business. Mary just wanted to live a quiet life minding her own business. Joseph just wanted to live a quiet life minding his own business. But when God signs you up for his business, beloved, it is a loud, sometimes disruptive, troublesome,
controversial business. God's business is sometimes has complexities. Sometimes it has havoc. Sometimes it has all kinds of problems. But if God called you, live up, stand up, and persevere through the controversies of your life. If God has called you to be a medical doctor, you gotta go through something, but be what God has called you to be. If God has called you to be a missionary, follow God's call. There will be controversies, but be what God has called you to be. If you're looking for easy, it does not exist in the kingdom of God. It is controversial. Great is the mystery of godliness. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness, that Christ was born of the Virgin Mary, incarnated God in the flesh. What God does is disputed. What God does is opposed. Whatever God has called you to do, anticipate controversy. Anticipate controversy. But understand this. If you are faithful, then God will give you a name. And Joseph's name is known all throughout this world. And listen to me, and in the scriptures, he did not speak one word, but his life is speaking for him. Let's stand and look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Let's all stand as we close out in prayer. Father, we realize in this world and in this life, there are controversies. None of us are spared controversy. So, Father, help us not to be ashamed. Lord, even when we stumble and fall, Lord, help us not to be ashamed because of the grace, the forgiveness that's in Christ Jesus. Lord, Peter fell, the chief apostle, the first amongst equals. He not only fell once, he denied you three times. And God, if you could restore Peter, you could certainly restore us. And oh God, I pray today that we would not be ashamed because Christ bore our shame upon the cross. And so, Father, I pray for every soul here today, regardless of what they have done, God, we pray and plead your forgiveness for their lives. And God, we pray that they would serve you even through the controversies of their life. Anyone can serve you when it's easy, but only those that love you will serve you when it's hard. Father, help us to love you and to serve you, even when it's hard. We ask this all in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen and amen.